And so today, we're obviously doing tongues and prophecy, as you know. It's a good time. And if you ever have like a question or, you know, wanting something to be clarified, just throw your hand up and then Andrew and or Sonia will point at you or something, or I'll point at you, and then you can just throw your head in the ring. So it should be fun. Should be good. We're all probably on the same page until we find out we're not. So that'd be great. But I'll just pray before we crack into it. It's right, Cherie. You can make your coffee. It's all good. That's right. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for watching over us and bringing us here safely. We thank you for your many blessings. And we just pray for tonight that you would lead us into all truth, and that we would be able to understand you better, understand the gifts that you give us better, so that we can appreciate one another and to grow in maturity in Christ and unity as a body. So we just pray that you would make this time robust, but also a time where we are strengthened as a body. And that, you know, even if we see things differently, we come to a greater love and respect for our brother and sister. And so we just pray that you would be glorified in all of the things that we say and do this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. The usual, do you have any way you want to, like, just a little caveat or a preface that you want to, before you get into the discussion? Everyone else has done that. They've thrown, like, a little comment out there just to, like...
Did they? You didn't put that on the... email, no.
Yeah, no, that's just a small one. Any you want to
like? Well, a couple of things. When we were preparing for tonight, Sonia decided that women shouldn't speak. That's what she decided. Yeah. She was like, now I know. So that, and Josh says he didn't think we believed in tongues, so he thought tonight's going to be quite short. So,
very cool.
It is recorded.
Yes. Yeah. And on that, another just a quick note because I will forget. So maybe if you guys could help me, people that listen to the recordings always tell me they can't hear the questions because nobody says it into the mic. So that's my fault for not repeating the question. So if someone does throw out a question, let's remind each other to repeat the question into the mic.
Yeah.
Because I've been useless with that.
Yeah. So, a good preface would be, we were actually talking about it when we came here. So Sonia was brought up Catholic background. Mum and Dad were very traditional Methodist. So our background up until... probably we went to university, was totally non-charismatic Pentecostal. So tongues, prophecy, etc. I don't know whether we'd even heard of them. So that's just a preface. It wasn't until we actually went to university in Wellington that we this whole new thing started to open up. So there you go. That's just a bit of a background for us.
Very cool. We'll start with prophecy, just because. I was going to say it's because it's alphabetical order, but I don't actually know what the alphabetical order is. So I was like, I'd rather not say it and then just keep, yeah. It is, yeah. That's what I thought. I was like, it is. Oh, I question it. So we'll start with prophecy. Easy question. What is the gift of prophecy?
Shit. I did actually write down a definition here. Which I thought was good. Prophecy is inspired speech that is the result of divine revelation. The words of the prophet were to be regarded as the word of God, although the prophet's own vocabulary and personality was evident in what they said. The Holy Spirit controls that outcome. The prophets were carried along by the Spirit of God. That's 2 Peter 1:21. So... I would say that is the essence of prophecy. inspired speech that is a result of divine revelation.
Boom. How sure. would you, follow-up question, that wasn't in the email either, but that's right.
Here we go.
Would you see Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy differently?
That's a great question. Personally, no, being honest, because I think there were a lot of prophets in the Old Testament. So if you're referring to those who wrote the scriptures, I think they had a very, very high prophetic gift, like extremely, I think there's maybe levels, maybe.
I'm just the host.
Yeah.
Is there levels?
Yeah,
Andrew?
Yeah. Well I think there's maturity in every gift, isn't there? Have I got it right that we operate in the gifts according to our faith? There's a scripture, I think. I'm picking this up. So I think, I think there is... I can't see, scripturally, any big difference between Old and New Testament. Let's just put it that way. I can't see a scriptural basis for saying that New Testament prophets are lesser, which is what a lot of people think, than the Old Testament.
Yep.
I guess is what I would say.
But nice.
But if someone can find something, I'm happy to listen.
Someone can Google it. Any thoughts on that one, Sonia? Gift of prophecy?
Some people like to see prophecy as falling into two categories, and sometimes it happens together. Prophecy being a form of foretelling, as in, future events, or actually even past events that have happened as well. For example, Samuel talked about something that happened in David's life. He revealed something, and that was quite prophetic. And then there's another aspect that is forthtelling, like speaking out, which is what you were talking about, a divine utterance inspired by God.
Although both are divine utterances.
Yeah, both of them are divine revelation.
Nice. So it's not all predicting the future?
Not all predicting the future.
Nice. I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah, in fact, I'd say a lot of it isn't predicting the future. In fact, there's a scripture we could look at it now or not, but I think the gospel is a prophetic utterance. Mm. It talks about it, and I would say in 2 Peter.
That would come under forthtelling, something telling forth of the good news of the gospel.
Revealing something.
Yes.
Yep. Nice. What is the passage in 2 Peter?
Shall I look at it?
Yeah, it's good to go to the scripture,
okay.
Isn't it? Good idea.
Now I'm thinking, is it 1 Peter? But that's all right. We'll find
three
it.
3 Peter.
No, it's 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honour and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have a prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so the bit of prophecy that they're talking about here is where the word is like a shining lamp in a dark place. The day it talks about the morning star rising in our hearts. And for those that were here last Sunday, I actually spoke about Christ in us. And that's actually what that's a reference to. So Jesus is the morning star, and he arises in our hearts. So it's talking about the morning star rising in our hearts. And that is a prophetic word. That's a prophetic utterance, and that's the gospel. So that's the mystery of the gospel. So the gospel itself is a prophetic message that the church carries, as I would see it.
Very nice, very nice. Don't hear that one often, or at all.
Oh, can I also add something to that? That also has a futuristic aspect to it as well, because our full and final redemption is yet to take place. I mean, we have salvation as a point in time in our lives, but it's not until we're with the Lord that our redemption is, you know, fully realised. So that's like the future.
Yeah, always looking ahead, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's partly in this sense that when it talks about we're still going? That's all right. When it talks about how in Acts 2, we should look at the scripture, shouldn't we? I have to find it where it talks about that they will prophesy.
Oh, yes, the old passage from Joel, verse 16.
Here we go.
Verse 17.
Yeah. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I think part of that prophetic gift, and this is where we could say that there is a sense in which everybody has a prophetic message in the church. And here it's saying that sons and daughters will prophesy. So it's saying everyone will, in effect, everyone will prophesy in one sense, because we all carry the gospel and we are all called to declare the gospel, which is a prophetic message. So there is a sense that we all carry that prophetic message. Yeah. But that's a little bit different to the gift of prophecy, which not everyone has, but it just kind of, anyway.
Yep. Do you want to flesh out the gift that not everyone has, that gift of prophecy? Would that just be, would that have a lot of crossover with like words of wisdom and words of knowledge? Or like, is there something that would like?
Yeah. I think it's very. I think it's very close, and I think one of the things that we do in our Western minds is we like to compartmentalise everything, so that the word of knowledge is different from word of wisdom, which is different from prophecy, which is different from faith, which is different from miracles, and we like to have these little compartments. But I probably perhaps see it a little bit more like. Maybe the colours of a rainbow, where they kind of fade in and out of each other. So there is a big sense in which a prophetic word can also contain a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. I think they're very close.
Yep.
Yeah.
What has been your experience with the gift of prophecy in your respective journeys? Either as like experiencing it yourself as someone who gives a word, or like someone giving a word to you.
I think the most significant experience I've had of it was maybe when I was, I'm going to say about late 20s, around about. I was actually in Gateways, and long story, but basically, this is a long story. I haven't really given this part of my testimony publicly, but for 8 years, even though I became a Christian when I was 15, I got to my early 20s and wondered whether I was really saved. for lots of different reasons. So, and it's not because I sought God probably more than I ever had before. And for 8 years, I refused to take communion because, although I was in the church very, as I say, reading the word, praying probably as much as I ever have. But there was just something in me that was really wrestling with what salvation was all about. And so I was kind of for 8 years, I really refused to call myself a Christian. And I was in Gateways one day, probably in the state. Well, I had two prophetic experiences at that time, but I'll give you the one that I'm thinking of. But one was, it was in a worship setting. Somebody prophesied. I actually don't 100% remember who it was. All I remember, it was about light, and I can't even describe it except for the light of God kind of just actually implanted in my heart. So it's very similar to the Peter verse, and I just like, man, I'm saved. It was like, bang. So it was kind of, if I had to guess who it was, I think it might have been Kevin Palfreman, but I wasn't, I was taking no notice of who it was. It was just, there was just this overwhelming sense that God was in this word about light, and he literally just broke something internally, where from then on I was like, I am a Christian, I'm a son of God. So that's, and that kind of even speaks into a little bit what it talks about in 1 Corinthians 14 about people through the prophetic gift, the secrets of men being revealed and people falling down on their face and saying, God is truly here. So, but I've also had a couple of experiences where people have prophesied quite accurately over me, stuff that they couldn't have known. I won't go into the details of what they said, except that in it, this guy who didn't know me at all, this was a Gateway setting, full church, someone came up to me and said, I don't know what you do, but you need to get up the tree fast. And there was a reason why he said that, and I won't go into it. But I was a firewood contractor at the time and did a lot of tree climbing. So he was like, he associated that with what I did. And I'm like, yeah, I know what I did, but you don't know what I do. So that was just a cool little thing in the prophecy to confirm to me that this guy was actually speaking what God was revealing to him. So that's a couple of, I've had other ones. But.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, you can talk about that.
This possibly comes under the category of prophecy. Both Andrew and I have had dreams where we really do feel like God has revealed something to us, and it's been quite directive. And particularly in our whole process of coming here to COV, both of us individually had dreams confirming that this was the way to go. And I was really, like, in the whole, well, at the beginning of the process of investigating, I was very, what would you say, reticent. I was quite settled where we were at our church and just thought I'd be there forever. And then God just directly spoke to me through a dream, which I won't go into the details, but confirmed. So prophecy confirms direction, etc.
And I mean, I went to Pathways on the basis partly of a dream, but I think God for us, again, dreams, whether you call that prophetic, but I think, again, there's a real big crossover in all this stuff. When I was wrestling, I felt like God was calling me to Pathways, and I'm like, oh, that's such a big commit. We had six kids. We were, we owned our own business. We were busy in the church, and it was like, okay, now God's calling me into full-time study while I still had to run a business, and we were homeschooling kids. It was like, what the heck? But a dream actually was just the thing that gave me that, oh yeah, okay, God is calling me into this. We can do this. So feeling like that was what God was speaking before that, but then that dream, which I would call a prophetic dream, was God saying, this is what I want you to do. So,
Oh, cool. How would you, I guess, encourage someone who, if they sort of think that maybe God has given them a word for someone else, to, you know, follow through with that? Because I guess a lot of people are quite hesitant on the fact that, like, oh, it's probably I'm just daydreaming in church. like, how do people, I guess, grow in that discernment of, like, is this, like, something that God's showing me, or am I just on my own buzz? How do I know if I've got this gift, or am I just, like, got just a great imagination for people?
That's a great question. from personal experience, in the context that I was in at the time, lots of people would go up and say, you know, thus saith the Lord, or this is what God says, and they could be quite directive and stuff like that. For me personally, I took a much more gentle approach. This is what I feel like God is saying, or this is what I think. And I think God might be in this. Because even in terms of some of the prophetic words that I feel like God's given me, being honest, they can be a little bit cryptic, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not necessarily like you, particularly through dreams, sometimes some of them have been really clear, and you're like, oh, I know what that's about. And often the dreams that God's really clear to me personally about, and probably three quarters of my dreams are actually God correcting me. Mm-hmm. They're actually not about other people. They're actually God dealing with stuff in my own life and directing me and saying, sort this out, don't do that. What the heck do you think you're doing? He doesn't actually say that, but that's in effect what. Yeah, so it's personal correction, and sometimes encouragement. But the times when it's for someone else, and we have had those, sometimes it's just a little bit cryptic, and so it makes me go in very gently and very cautiously. So I think, you know, we don't need to go in and say, thus says the Lord, you know. I think it's good if you feel like God is speaking to you about somebody to be able to go up and just say, hey, I just feel like maybe I give you a scripture. I feel like God's given me this scripture, or I feel like maybe this is happening in your life and just really want to pray for you. Mm-hmm. So you can actually approach it with a real gentle approach. Mm-hmm. And in those instances when you can be really encouraged if you're on, because they'll say, oh man, that's cool. And you start growing in confidence that God is actually speaking. And again, this is different but the same. I mean, it was only 2 or 3 weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, I don't know. I was in somebody's house and we were just praying, and man, I felt just so strongly this passage of scripture. And I just opened it and said, I just really want to read this, and just read it. And they were like, man, we were reading that this morning, and God was so speaking to us out of it. And so that's really encouraging when they're just confirming that you're hearing, yeah. Because it's funny, but I don't know, it's almost like in that instance, you're praying, and it's almost like God just, I can't, yeah, he just drops it into your spirit. Like, it's just like, you're not thinking about it, it's just like, da-donk, and all of a sudden the passage or the idea comes. It's like quite different to your own thinking. But that's possibly more word of knowledge, wisdom, but then it's prophecy. Anyway.
Who knows? Nice.
I'll rabbit on a lot.
Yeah. And what about on the receiving end? because I know, like, for myself and for others, people have said things to us, and we're kind of like, oh, what do we do with that now? Like, you know, like, do you take it and run with it? Do you just, like, let it sit in the pot for a bit? Do you put it both? I don't know. Because we're just a bit like, oh.
Test it.
Okay. And we're kind of like,
that's easy.
Don't know what to do with it.
Test everything.
Mm.
Test everything. Because, again, some people, even a prophetic word, I've had prophetic words that I believe are right, but their timing was wrong. So it was delivered, they put time frame on something, and they were quite certain the way they were seeing it, that it would be quite soon. And the reality of it is it was way further down the track.
Mm.
But it wasn't that the prophetic word was wrong, it's just that the way, so it can be a mixture, it's the way they interpreted it as this is going to happen in your life very shortly, whereas actually that wasn't the case. So that's where a lot of caution, I think. You just got to test it.
Mm.
If it really resonates with you, I think you should definitely listen to it. Often it's confirming what you're already thinking and, where you're already tracking. So it's kind of God just cementing something in your life. So it's pretty easy to run with it when it's in that context. But when it's something new and left field, it's kind of like, whoa, okay, what do I do with this? Why do I sit on it? Pray about it, seek counsel, other people, don't just because someone says thus saith the Lord, say, okay, I'm off to Africa.
Done. Nice. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's cool. How about, because Paul throws out, I know, I've been thinking about this, in 1 Corinthians about, I guess, their regular words of prophecy within the church service. How would you see that like playing into the life of the church itself? Obviously, like outside of just a Sunday morning, but then also on a Sunday morning. Would that be like open mic time, you reckon? Or like, would you see it differently?
No, no? I do. Because I was just reading... which is all about prophecy and speaking in tongues, chapter 14, verse 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for the building up. And I think we, you know, there's other passages that say, when you come, come with a psalm, hymn, a spiritual song. I think what's happened in the church, in fact, I was thinking about this when we were preparing for this, we've become so passive, you know, we still, I think COV probably does it as well as any church, because we do have an open time, we still have an open mic, so that people are encouraged to pray and contribute. But how many of us actually gather together with each other with an expectation that we are going to bring a psalm, a hymn, a prophecy, a tongue for the building up of the body. We actually have got to the point in church circles where we leave the building up of the body to a select few rather than actually this is part of my responsibility as part of the body to be functioning in the gift that God is giving me. And to be wanting to build up the body. I'm just going to keep talking. Is that all right?
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
you just stop me. Because this has got me onto another thing.
You know what I mean?
Because I think it talks about 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more that you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, and lead someone into it so that the church may be built up. So we'll get onto it, but tongues is primarily about building up yourself. But what you see from that verse, it is way more important to be building up the church than it is to be building up self. And we often, in our Western Christianity, think my first responsibility is to build up self. Mm. My first responsibility is to make sure God and me are good. Actually, the first responsibility is to make sure the body of Christ is strong. Because that's what that verse is saying. It's when we're building up the body, that is way more important than building up our own self. And that's real interesting, isn't it, to think about? Because we often have it, I'm not building up myself, how can I build up the body? But actually, I think there is something in the way that God has designed us that in building up the body, we are being grown, strengthened, developed. And yet we kind of preach a gospel. We have a view of Christianity where it's very much about me and God, and I just need to be alone and get my life with God sorted out. But it's actually not the way Scripture teaches it. Mm. And very foreign in the New Testament church, but quite common in Western Christianity.
Mm. Very consumeristic.
Very consumeristic.
Yeah, yes. Come receive and then depart.
The priesthood of believers too, isn't it? Of all believers, that feeds into that truth.
Boom. Mosey on into tongues now. Any final words on prophecy before we depart? Any questions or comments from the audience that wish to clarify anything prophetic? Nobody has a word that they want, like, help with discern? No. That'd be all right. Jaden's got one.
Well, there is one little verse, but it comes into tongues as well.
Oh, okay. A little transition?
It could transition, couldn't it? It could transition. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently in order. And it's this whole thing of earnestly desiring to prophesy. Prophecy is actually, if you read through the whole of 1 Corinthians 14, it actually exalts that gift because of the way it can build up the whole body. When a word of revelation is delivered to in a corporate setting, that's right what God is saying to the congregational church at the time, it is so uplifting and building up. Yeah, so it is an important gift for us to be developing and growing them.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, so everyone's going to have a on-fire time with the open mic on Sunday. It's going to be great. Oh, yes. Oh, we just have to repeat it into the mic.
Oh.
Okay. What is your question?
What did
Ruth
I say?
Ruth is asking what you mean by developing.
Tell me what I said. Oh, right. Yes. Well, I think one of the things like this actually develop the gift, because I think we don't talk about it. And now I'm talking about actually in a COV setting, that prophecy isn't given a lot of discussion or talk, but Scripture says we are to earnestly desire it. So we either say that actually, we'll just cross that bit out, or that bit was for, which we can, obviously some people we've talked about the cessationist position. It can be much easier to say, oh, well, they just don't exist, so we have to take out a whole lot of Scripture. But I think a big part of it is actually to earnestly desire the gift and actually not get it out of whack, because, again, the love chapter 13, it's you know, we can prophesy and speak in tongues and da-da-da, but if we do not have love, we're nothing. So we can't get it out of whack and got to keep gospel-centred, God-centred. But we've got to remember that the prophetic in its true nature should be speaking right into the gospel-centeredness of a church. It shouldn't be, there shouldn't be any conflict between being gospel-centered and earnestly desiring the gift of prophecy. In fact, we should potentially earnestly desire the gift of prophecy to better expound the gospel and be more accurate in our delivery of it.
Yeah, I guess that would be because...
answer the question?
Oh, yes. I guess that would be because the Spirit's not trying to fight himself and...
100%.
Yeah, yeah. So if we're mature and...
Yeah. Because we can often say, I don't seek the gifts because I'm seeking God or the gospel or...
Yeah, we want to be word-centered.
Yes, we want to be word-centered, so
that.
We don't need to... Yeah, yeah. So we can do that and kind of trade them off as if they're two separate things. But actually, in the right place, the prophetic is right on the money, gospel-centered, Christ-centered, because it's the word of God to the church.
Mm. Yeah. So for like 4 steps to growing the gift, further answer Ruth's question, would you say...
Have you got four?
Like, oh, no, but...
Oh, you're going to give me the 4 steps.
So you'd be like, what you said is obviously keeping it in balance with, you know, not getting it out of whack.
Yep.
Discussing it more as a church, having those times to allow people... Would you do anything more than that? Like, talk about it more, have more time, but then, like...
I think really encouraging people, because we don't do this necessarily very well, and there's a verse that actually says if you're ever encouraged by what anybody says, this is an Andrew Mitchell translation, if you're ever encouraged by what anyone says, you actually should go up and tell them, and encourage them. Now, the reason why you should do that is because that is then speaking to them and telling them they're getting it right. Because we can actually just think, oh, that was an amazing sermon, or what someone said at communion was so good, so inspired, has really built me up, and we say nothing to them. And they go away thinking, I wonder if anybody got anything out of what I've just said. I thought it was from God, but nobody has said a thing. And as a church, we're actually not very good at encouraging people when we feel, like, don't just do it for the sake of it. Don't just like, I better encourage this person because they're looking down. That was a great word, and it wasn't. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being honest, but if something really speaks to your heart and really you feel like, man, God's in this and he's growing me, someone might get up in communion and say something in a public setting around the communion table, and it really speaks to you. Go and say to them, that was fantastic. That so spoke to me. And then we actually start drawing the gift out. Because if somebody gets up feeling like it's God, they say it, and the thing is with this, is that verse or that inspiration or that prophetic word or whatever might have only been for one or two people in the congregation. It might not have been for everyone, so a lot of people would have thought, oh, that was good, but it might not have really, really grabbed them. It could have been a lot more people, but so if you feel like someone said something that's really helped you in your walk with God, go and just say to them and say, that is so cool, thank you so much for getting up and saying that, because that has really da-da-da-da-da, whatever it's done. So I think that will help a lot in drawing those giftings out.
Yeah.
Whereas we, as a church, being honest, aren't probably that good at that.
Yeah. I had a similar experience when, what did I do? I preached on the resurrection this year, on Resurrection Sunday. And during the prep, because there's a lot of things you can talk about with the resurrection, so I wasn't too sure, so I was like, Lord, you need to tell me what to do. And I was like, I don't really know what to talk about. And so then point one was that guarantees that we're saved, like looking back. But then looking forward guarantees the future for us and our lost loved ones who are in Christ. And when I was like started writing that second point, I just had a big feeling of grief. And so I had a little cry to myself. And I was like, oof, that was weird. But then on the Sunday, spoke to someone. And then I think the day or two before their dad died, and they were like, they were in tears. And I was like, oh, what'd I do? So that was real intense. But then, yeah, that confirmed it, where I was like, oh, I see where that was coming from.
Yeah, it just confirmed right on the money to minister to, and more than probably that one person, but to have a couple of people would come up and say, man, that was so good.
Yeah. And then I guess it makes you more aware for next time.
Yes.
You're like, it's deja vu. Yeah. Been here before. So you're like, take attention to that one.
Because I think lots of people, feel like people who get up regularly don't need encouraging. And I think maybe that can be true to a degree in the sense that they can become very secure in who they are and what they feel like God is saying as best as they can through them, so they can kind of, whatever. But there are a lot of people who that encouragement is so much life and encouragement to them continuing to push into their ministry. And I think a lot of people can kind of fall by the wayside in lots of different ways because we're not very good at encouraging each other. And I mean, that's a challenge to me because I'm a like, let's do it. Go. Oh, that's right. Good job, guys. Let's go. You know, I mean, I don't stop enough and just say good job, and I know that that's something that I need to get better in personally. Yeah.
Oh, cool. We'll transition to tongues now.
That's right. That was a transition.
Yeah, that was our transition to tongues.